When you need your work truck to work as hard as you do, trust Delphi Technologies to deliver the parts built for the toughest work environments. From construction sites to long-distance hauling, go with the aftermarket supplier known for its 100-plus years of OE heritage and expertise. Go to DelphiAftermarket.com today. Everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Ross. Now, folks who are regular listeners to the podcast know that we very recently had the Minister of Labor and Skilled Trades, Monty McNaughton, on to talk about the Skilled Trades Ontario agency that replaces the Ontario College of Trades, as well as a number of other elements that are set to evolve the skilled trades landscape in Ontario. So today I wanted to have feedback on both what the minister says, what they think is going on, and how they see the apprenticeship landscape developing. So with me today is Eric Mileham. He is the president of the Automotive Aftermarket Retailers of Ontario and a shop owner, of course. Welcome, Eric.
Good morning, Andrew.
Also, Jamie Holmes, who is the retired VP and chair of the Master Mechanic Organization that has 30-plus locations across Ontario. He's also formerly the vice president of the Board of Governors for the Ontario College of Trades. Welcome, Jamie.
Hey, how are you doing, Eric? Andrew?
Thanks very much. So I'll just start with you, Eric. I mean, you know, you've heard what the minister had to say. You had a chance to kind of think on it. What's your take on where things are going with the new agency and with apprenticeships in Ontario? I mean, they've done a lot of, the province has done a lot of changes, right? So.
Yeah, it sounds really promising on the surface. You know, they're putting a lot more money into the program than ever before. It certainly sounds like they're committed to making skilled trades a viable choice for as a career choice. Incredible amount of additional funding being put into the program. It just sounds absolutely fabulous. Looking at their website and you know, on the initial take, everything seems to be really going the way you'd expect it to. It is absolutely surprising that they can get it together and make it all look so good. One of our technicians wrote his CFQ 2 weeks ago, and within a week he had his results posted up on the website, showed the change of status from an apprentice to a journeyman, and I'm really enthusiastic about where the program's going.
Well, that's great. So, Jamie, it's kind of same question. What kind of sense of feel do you get for where things are going? I know we've talked before about some of the aspects of it, but
yeah, sure. Well, I guess I'll say something and try to make it positive. Because I think it is positive. All I can say is, having been the vice chair of the Board of Governors for OCOT for almost 8 years. I'm very happy to see the government, and it's not political, but to see the government finally put a good portion of the suggestions that the Board of Governors made over 5 years ago, when we were still OCOT. We had suggested most of the things that are presently being implemented. Like, this is not new. This isn't a new script. They had this information, and the previous government, you know, with the Liberals and also the Conservatives in the beginning, essentially sat on it. You know, these suggestions were suggested, as I said, almost 5 years ago, but they were never implemented for whatever reason. But that having been said, I'm glad that somebody finally listened. And I think it's going to be positive for all trades across the province. As Eric said, the amount of money that they loosened up and are putting towards the trades is fantastic. It's about time. It's something that that has been needed for a very long time. And what they also need to do, though, is to change their focus and get to the educators, both not only in secondary schools, but also in middle school, and to get out to the youth to make them realize and understand that to be a tradesperson is a good viable career opportunity, and there's no shame in it.
Yeah. Now, Eric, you know, certainly the, you know, this has come up kind of over the years too about, you know, yes, attracting people, apprentices or people to become apprentices, but then keeping them is quite another thing. And the sort of on a second part of that is making sure that those apprentices that actually get through to the point where they're working in a shop or, you know, proceeding to that point are actually prepared for that. Now, these are, you know, all of the things that we kind of talked about with the minister. But in your take on it, I mean, what really needs to happen at the both high school and maybe earlier level to make sure that the both the candidates are retained, but also that they're properly prepared, right?
Yeah. And you know that requires engagement on the part of the high schools that are feeding the candidates into the system, right? And being able to identify the basic skill sets or knowledge that the student has and be able to pass them on to an appropriate employer. We're pretty lucky in our town. We have two high schools in town, and both of them have, for us automotive, pretty good automotive program instructors that are really enthusiastic about getting the co-op students out there to try it. They're pretty good at pigeonholing the students into the right kind of position to try out as a co-op student. And I think that's a huge thing for the students to really get a chance to actually try the job. You know, lots of people, hey, I like working on my car. You know, I put a headlight bulb in at one time. That's a way different story than, you know, working on a car every day, right? And, you know, we often get people just out of the blue. They come in and they'll apply and they say, hey, you know what? I worked on my car once. I tightened a wheel nut because it was loose. And they think that gets them started on this, you know, they have the right skill set to actually do the job. And it's not necessarily true. I think, and we've told our co-op teachers and shop teachers that we would like to see more people skills, you know, being taught to our students in the high school level. And they've taken that to heart, and they've put a lot of effort into making sure that they have better people skills, which is something that's been a bit of a problem in the last 10 years. It's starting to turn around now. Some of the things that we're encouraging them to talk to the students about now also is becoming a business owner. You know, it's one thing to learn about a trade, you know, construction or automotive or electrician or whatever it is, a hairdresser. You know, many of those people become business owners and they have absolutely no business skills whatsoever. And they've never had an opportunity to learn any business skills because right at the get-go, oh, you want to be a mechanic? Okay, let's put you in a mechanics course, and then miss the opportunity to become business trained when they really should have right at the beginning. But those are some of the thoughts I have on the program and looking at the change that they're talking about, you know, the investment and the enforcement and additional people hired on the skills development side of it, or in the government part of it. I think that those are all viable options going forward.
Right. Now, Jamie, Eric brought up the issue of the enforcement, not to soft pedal the other important issues on education that he did raise. But the area of enforcement was one that really got under the skin of, or lack of enforcement for a lot of shops who make the investments or trying to get their apprentices to, you know, abide by the, you know, compliance, to comply with all the rules, you know, making the effort, making a good, honest effort to make sure they do things the right way. And then to hear that there was no enforcement for a long time, and that mm-hmm. they had questions about it to begin with. Now that's being handled quite a bit differently now. I mean, what are your thoughts on that moving forward?
Well, the issue with enforcement actually, where the pushback came was from the construction industry, wasn't from our industry, okay? Because there were a lot of things that went on in construction where there were overlapping scopes of practice, and the various organizations had agreements that they would allow each other to do each other's work. And then there were other groups that said, no, that's not right. So they looked at OCOT to be the policeman and to undo these agreements and so on. And OCOT said, no, we're here to uphold the law. It's been in place forever and ever, and this is what we're here. And the construction trades didn't want to hear that. However, as far as enforcement goes, OCOT, because of the pressure that was put on them, had to kind of back off and went to more of an education focus as opposed to, you know, bringing the hammer down. No, that isn't to say that they weren't going in shops where they didn't have a certified technician in place or whatever the case is, and, you know, giving them warning. And they did have the ability to ban them from being in the workplace practicing as a technician without being a registered apprentice or a certified journey person. In any case, and then when the wind down announcement was, or the undoing announcement was announced in 2018, we were told that enforcement and education was suspended. So the government even then said to us, hey, you know what? No more of that. You're upsetting too many people because you're trying to make them follow the law of the province. And anyway, at the end of the day, you know what? Enforcement now is going to be done by the Ministry of Labor. They're used to dealing with union situations, which of course is a very rare animal in the automotive business. But one way or the other, they have said that they intend to crack down on uncertified journey people, and make them either become certified or close them down. So I mean that does give me some hope that maybe there will be the ability to weed out the non-qualified from all the trades, not just ours, but for sure. I mean the thing is, all trades have a component of risk to the general public, and you know ours fixing their vehicle and putting it on the road and so on poses a great risk. So certification for us in our trades is extremely important. And as Eric said, to make sure that the people are there, they're educated properly, and they're doing it correctly is up to all of us as certified techs to make sure that continues to happen.
Right. I mean, I think that's what we all want. And you know, it's, I guess, to kind of use an old cliche, you know, it takes a couple of bad apples to really spoil things for a lot of folks.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and that was one of the great things, actually, with the OCOT structure, is that the public and fellow trades and employers all had the opportunity to register complaints with OCOT, and these complaints were all investigated. I know, because I was the chair of the complaints committee for the province. And we looked at lots and lots of complaints, and some of them were we called vexatious, meaning meaningless. They were just hot air. And there were some where the tradesperson was, yeah, a little bit offside, but not terrible. And there were some where they were really offside. And we then took those complaints and set them to the discipline committee, where the person could have resulted in the removal of their certificate qualification in the most egregious situations. But I'm hoping that the ministry is going to keep on this, so that, as to use your phrase, the bad apples figure out that this doesn't fly. It's not right. And you know, if you're not going to do the right thing, then you can't practice in the trade, period. That's what it comes down to.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to certainly on end things on kind of a down note, you know. So what are the promising things that you see, Eric, that you'd like to kind of highlight for, you know, when you look at this and you think, oh, geez, you know, hey, you know, what can I tell prospective apprentices, and what kind of strikes you as some of that streamlining that might really make a difference?
I think, you know, in most other provinces, there's an interim testing program. I know from experience, we often have people who become licensed technicians that were trained at, we'll say, an original equipment manufacturer dealership, and then have no real skills. They know how to change engine oil and maybe put wheels and tires on for seasonal changes. And you know, maybe that's all their skill sets that have been developed. And then in the meantime, the trainer, the dealership's been getting the benefits of training a technician incentive back from the government in their tax rebate, but they're not actually training the technician. You know, maybe if we could put into place some interim training, we could identify the technicians that are qualified, and maybe the other ones that maybe should go back to whatever other job skills that they have within them that's not being a technician. I think that's something I'd really like to see in place now. You know, most other provinces do that, an interim testing. So I think that'll, I hate to ask anybody not to become a technician, because we do certainly need more technicians, but, you know, we do need good technicians. This stuff is really complicated now. It's not simple stuff anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, kind of appropriately a segue here, Mark LeMay from AutoAid, correct? Just joined us. I see he's been driving, and so no doubt has just found a signal. So thanks very much for getting into the podcast, Mark. Hope you're well. Just quickly on the training side, you probably see a lot of shops who are tied in knots sometimes about the level of quality of training and preparation that they're seeing out of the apprentice system. So where is that at? And do you see something in what's happening in Ontario that will help there?
As far as training goes, the we'll start with the kids that are coming out of our trade schools and that kind of stuff. They are definitely ill-prepared for what's out there facing them. And then the other side of it is most of them, once they get done with trade school, they don't do training. They don't do anything to sort of catch up. Like, I would estimate that maybe 10% of the technicians province-wide are doing anything with training.
And have you had a chance to give a look-see into what the Skilled Trades Ontario agency and the number of the other changes that are both proposed and in process within Ontario?
I've looked at it a little bit. I know I just filled out a an application with Diane Freeman for Aero for funding for these guys for next year, starting in the summer and stuff. To me, it looks like a lot of the just the College of Trades. What needs to happen with it is they need to start tracking these technicians and apprentices to see where they're at, where the skills gaps are, and then somebody needs to go to, like, you know, Joe Abbott or whatever at XYZ. We see that you're falling behind on these skills. Here are some options for you to get caught up. But nobody's doing that.
Right, right. Well, it sounds, though, I mean, without kind of putting words into Skilled Trades Ontario's mouth or anything like that, but it sounds like there's some opportunity for folks in the industry to kind of get involved and maybe help mold some of those aspects, right?
Yeah, and if they're smart, they will get stakeholders involved, like Errol, guys like J.B. Holmes, people that are actually sort of in the industry and doing this kind of stuff. The other thing that I felt for a long time that the industry needs is some kind of a mentorship program. We don't have that either.
Right, to really formalize. So I know a number of shops will have things in place, you know, and organizations, but nothing is kind of formalized as part of that process, right?
No, and I was just talking to Bruce Eccles yesterday. Jeff Taylor has sort of left the industry, which is very unfortunate, because there's a guy that's got a massive set of skills, and he's not passing them on to anybody.
Right. And just for those who don't know, Bruce Eccles, of course, founder of Eccles Auto in Dundas, you know, and a very well regarded shop even today. Technician we're talking about, regularly top of the class for all the competitions and that. So Jeff was a well-known and highly regarded technician. So you know, just for folks who don't know. And so it's a shame if he's in a situation where the industry can't gain from his long experience and guidance, right?
Yeah, but how many technicians like Jeff are out there that the same thing's going to happen? Like, I'm 62. When I retire, that all goes away.
Right, right. Retire. yes, that's a four-letter word in the industry, so we can't spell either. You know, I know our time is really coming quickly to a close. I know that I've had a little longer opportunity to talk to Eric and Jamie today, but Mark, maybe just a closing note from you. If there was one thing that somebody who's thinking about getting involved in the industry right now to be prepared, or things to talk about, folks who want to get involved to be prepared, what should they focus on?
The electronics and the diagnostics. Those are the two problem areas. The industry doesn't have a problem fixing cars. If you tell a technician that he needs to replace X or rebuild this or whatever, that's not the issue. There, no shop is struggling in that area, at least. If there are any, it's very minuscule. The problem is the electronics and the diagnostics, and that's not being taught properly. And the number of guys that are updating their skills in those areas, very few. And that's where the problems are. It's the troubleshooting end of it that's the problem, not the fixing.
Right. Really great point. Maybe some folks who have some interest in this and maybe some authority to make some decisions on that are listening and can take those sentiments to heart. I want to thank everybody for joining me on the podcast today. Eric from Aero, Jamie, retired but very involved, formerly with OCOT, likes what he sees, at least on the surface of things. And of course, Mark LeMay, trainer extraordinaire. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we'll catch you next time on the podcast.
Take care, everybody.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Great Canadian Aftermarket Podcast, brought to you by the publishers of Indie Garage and Jobber Nation. Connect with us online at indiegarage.ca and jobbernation.ca, a brand of Chat Integrated Media.
Pothole damage to a vehicle's chassis is always a concern, no matter the size or time of year. If the worst does happen, you can count on Delphi Technologies steering and suspension parts to get your customers back on the road again. Learn more at DelphiAftermarket.com.